Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I want to have all of us say thank you to somebody that isn't going to like me doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. We have the blessing of having a man that owns a roofing business in the church, and I cannot tell you how wonderful it is when he stops the leaks. Yes! Amen. So go ahead, Terry, just lift your hand real quick. There he is, right there. And I want you to know he sent one of his workers at a very timely moment this last week, right before it started raining, got it all fixed up, had a bad leak back in here that got fixed a couple of weeks ago before that. So, man, we thank you. Yeah. Amen. If anybody has a leak in their roof, call Terry Keys. Amen. And Master Roofing, I love the name of that. Amen. And he will bless you. Glory to God. All right, we're going to get back to Joseph today. And as we get there, I want to just give some background for people that have not been able to be here. And I'll try to do this as quickly as I can and as succinctly as I can. But here's the deal. We are talking about with Joseph, a young man that got born into a wacky tobacky family. Amen. These folks are a mess. They have one dad and numerous wives. Two of the wives are sisters that are as you read the text, they are in competition with each other. And the cute one gets the guy, the love of the husband. And the less cute doesn't get anything from him at all, really. Not in the terms of affection, though. Amen. Yes, a lot of mothers would say, I'd rather have the affection than the baby. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Amen. So here's something that Joseph was just nothing that he did had anything to do with what happened to him. And that is, he was born as a miracle baby. His mama was the cute girl, and she was not able to have babies for years and years and years. And her sister and her maids were having babies like crazy. Amen. But that never works really well when the girl finally has a baby that couldn't have a baby that is her husband's favorite woman on the planet. She finally has a baby, and now it's a miracle baby. So he gets special treatment. Does he have anything to do with that? No. I mean, he's just innocent being his father's favorite. So it came to the place where trouble ensued. And I want to look today at something that the Bible lets us know about. Really, this is an astounding thing, but the power of dreams is consistent throughout human history. A lot of people pursue a dream that they had, not just because it was something they wanted to do, but they had a literal dream that they felt like was the hand of God in their life. And lots of times that was the case. That happened to Joseph. When he was 17 years old, the Bible says in Genesis 37, third verse, Joseph was 17 years old, pasturing the flock with his brothers, and he was still young, obviously. And he was out there, gave his dad a bad report about him. They got ticked off at him, and then he had this dream. They're real mad at him already because he's a tattletale. Now, and they're all half brothers. They know that he is. They're excuse me, that their dad is very, 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 very favorite, giving him a lot of favoritism. So now he has a dream, but his daddy had lots of dreams from God. So when he had the dream, here's what the dream was, and this is where we're going to pick up from today. He had a dream, and that particular dream was incredibly important. So here's what it was. Here's what it was. Joseph had a dream, told it to his brothers. They hated him even more. And he said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, which is an odd thing for a sheep to do. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Now, we, the Bible readers, get to know what the sheaves represented. And what did the sheaves represent? Let's interpret this dream, everybody. What are the sheaves? Harvest. Could be his brothers, absolutely. Okay. What the sheaves are just is under a big category that I'm going to call provision. Provision. The sheaves are grain that they're going to eat. In other words, it's provision of bread. Okay? But that's not all that Joseph did for his brothers when they got to Canaan land. He provided, the Bible says, he provided everything for them. Okay, now everybody, hang on. If you have a brother that's a half-brother and you have him come to you and give you a dream and you get the right interpretation that he is going to be your provider in your life, how are you going to feel about that boy? Yeah, now all of a sudden we're all going, dude, you're going to pay my bills? Yep, going to pay your bills. You're going to get me the best place in Goshen? Yep, going to get you the best one. So let me ask you about this. How could they have missed that far? Blind, lies, jealousy. And where does all that come from? All right, I'm going to dive over into a place today. Powery always wants to push me over in that place. But it's okay, I'm on my way anyway. Hallelujah. If you consult the Bible will tell you that there are three influences that 100% of mankind is subject to. And I'm going to give them to you in chronological order. The first one that we have to deal with, the first influence we have to deal with is God. Amen? And we can say it this way, is the will of God. The will of God. So turn to the person next to you and say, the will of God is the first and the foremost influence upon me. Okay? Now you say, well, that's for people that are Christians. No. No, 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 no. In your Bible, in John chapter 16, you will find this statement that the Holy Spirit is convicting people of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. Of righteousness because he went to the Father, and of judgment to come. Judgment because the ruler of this world, that was Satan, the ruler of this world has been judged. So he tells you, even when you're lost, his influence is coming your way. His influence will never be out of order. He is gonna be with every single person. He's doing everything he can to bring you to Jesus. Amen? You didn't get to Jesus any other way. You had to come because of the Holy Spirit convincing you that Jesus would love you enough to forgive you of every sin you had. Every sin you've ever done, every sin you are doing now, and every sin you will ever do. You have to be convinced that he is able to wipe it all away. Amen? And when he wipes it all away, you can clearly see the way to heaven is through him. And you'll go, glory to God, I'm going to take that step right now. Woo! Man, when you see it, when that becomes real to you, the Holy Spirit will make that real to you. You will run to it. May take you several times, but you'll get there. Amen. Now listen to me carefully. But there's another influence. And when God revealed his will to the first man, who was a perfect man, had never sinned, had no sin in him whatsoever. He was, the Bible says, the Son of God. Look it up. You go through the genealogies, you're going to find out that one of the genealogies, I believe it's the one in Matthew, says Adam, the Son of God. So here we have a perfect man, but he didn't run into the snake, but his wife did. So his wife ran into a talking snake. And the talking snake contradicted what God said. And you will find that voice is going to have to be dealt with in your life and mine. We have to deal with that influence that says, whatever God said, let's do the opposite. Because that's where real fun is. Yeah, it's real fun until all your teeth fall out when you're 24. It's real fun until at 40 years old you can't sleep over 2 hours a night. It's real fun until you've been in jail 90% of your life. Then the fun is over and the regret comes on you. Because the enemy does not want to let you feel 1 ounce of love. He is contradicting that by crushing your emotional realm. Okay? That's what he wants to do. He wants to crush your emotional realm so that you'll give up and hopefully commit suicide. That's what he's wanting. He is an influence. He's behind the influence. The way Jesus said it was this: I have come to give you abundant life, but he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, so there's an influence out there from the prince of the power of the air. It's coming through the air, my friends, into your noggin. And your little brain is going to have to learn the difference between a thought from God and a thought from hell. Amen. And it's not that hard. Amen. It's not that hard. If something is pushing you down, you know it's not God. People say, oh, well, when I was getting convicted, I was really pushed down. No, that wasn't conviction. That was condemnation. That was condemnation. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. He convicts you, or he convinces you. You can't convict somebody until you get some evidence. So the Holy Spirit's bringing them evidence to convince them, to convict them that Jesus is alive and loves them and will take them out of hell. But there's a third influence, and that's called the will of man. You have a will, and I'm going to blow your brains right now because God will submit to your will. So in all honesty, in planet Earth, the king of all the influence is always the human being. God said in his Bible that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Okay, now I'm just going to tell you, if you want to go sin, God will not stop you. If you're hollering at him, oh, Jesus, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, he will help you. He'll give you a way of escape. The Bible says, with every temptation comes a means of escape. So he's not going to leave you standing there if you're asking him to, but if you have that look in your eye that I don't care what's out there, I'm going to sin that sin. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody does. I'm going to rob that poor old lady over there. I'm going to take her money. Okay? God's not going to stop you. Not going to stop you. Doesn't mean he's not going to try. Doesn't mean he's not going to be there watching it. He just is not going to do what most people think he should do, and that's stop me. You didn't want to stop. You didn't want to get stopped. Well, I didn't know there was going to be a cop there. You should have stopped me. That, my friend, is humanity right there. I didn't see the cop, God. Your fault. She had the big bracelet or necklace and bracelets on. I could have got them all in 2 seconds. But there was the cop. And then they sit in jail. It was God's fault. All right. So there are three influences. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go through this scenario with you. You tell me. If this whole family, Jacob's family, Joseph's family, if they would have responded to the will of God, this is not a trick question, how would they have approached hearing that Joseph had a dream about them? How would they have approached that? Somebody just shoot it out there. They would have rejoiced. What does your dream mean to me? There you go. Talk to Joseph about it. I tell you what I did. I talk. I said, Dad. Joseph had a dream. did you ever have a dream like this? And I guarantee you, Jacob could have said, here's what I think it means. Here's what I think it means. I think Jacob could have helped him, and he should have. He should have. Instead, the Bible said, he kept it to in his heart. See, he was a terrible dad. I cannot even. Wow. As far as dads go, he was bad. Every rule there is, you don't have favorite kids. They're all your favorite friends. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Every one of your kids is a favorite. And they got to feel that way. Amen. How many of you have served God long enough that at some point in your life you have thought, I know God doesn't have favorites, but I sure feel like he's making me his favorite. Huh? How many of you just go, dude, the guy just handed me $1,200. I am really favored. Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay? God will make you feel that way if you'll just hang around him long enough. He'll talk to you privately, and you'll go, I got his ear today. Amen. You'll just feel like you are his favorite kid. And it's because you are. Amen. Everybody is his favorite. Nobody was Jacob's favorite because he never trained up his kids. If you don't train up your kids are going to be the biggest mess in your future. I said the biggest mess in your future. Train them now when they're that big. Not when they're 285 pounds and they're meaner than a junkyard dog. Too late. Turn them over to the cops. Man, we got to get this in our society. We've got to get it. We've got to train our kids instead of having our kids train us. For those of you that may or may not know, we have a child care over here from toddler up to kindergarten. And when we bring in newbies, we have staff right here that can corroborate this. They will test you with how loud they can scream and how long they can scream. And nobody, I'm going to tell you, nobody is getting into heaven before people that are working in child cares. Nobody. Nobody. The rewards are massive. Amen. The Lord has been working on them every day. And none of them ever wear earplugs, and I can't understand that because I'm back in my office and I'm here. Ah! And I'm going to tell you, some of those little kids, they can scream for half an hour. And you just go, huh, I'd call mama. Amen. And mom would say, well, she can go 3 more hours right there. Yeah, we've had her at 3 hours before. Do something about it. Do something, okay? And if it was me, I'm just telling you, this is me. I would walk up to that child and make every funny face I knew how to make. Just get right down in their face. Look at this. Cross your eyes. Do whatever you want to do. But get that kid's mind off of screaming. Take that child candy. See, probably the staff can't do that, but I could. Amen. Do something to redirect them before you want to kick them across the parking lot. Okay. That's just a little side journey. I thought you might like that. Amen. So let's get back over here. Now Joseph had a dream about provision for his family. Woo! We get to live in Beverly Hills. We are the Beverly Hills Jews. Okay? Man. But they didn't get that, did they? Because of hatred. Because their hearts were wrong. Okay, now everybody, I'm just going to lay this out there for you. Okay. So they do it right. They do it right. They all come to agreement. Man, Joseph, there's something in the future that Joseph is going to be the guy that provides for us. Okay. How many think God gets real confused right then and goes, oh my gosh, I didn't think they could react this way. How am I ever going to get him to Egypt? I thought these guys would throw him in a pit, have a bunch of salesmen on their way to Egypt, sell him to the salesmen, and get him there. That was the plan. It's going to put him in jail the whole time. That was never the will of God. Just count on it. I thought I'd have a lot of people throwing rocks right there. Now, listen to me carefully. This is one of the coolest things I've ever heard anybody say. I was clear back in Bible school. A lady was talking about her life's trajectory to get her out of the mess that she was in over into the place God wanted her. And she said, here's what the Lord told me. He said, you took the wrong steps in your life. So when you did that, you stepped out of plan A into plan B. But my plan B turns into plan A if you follow me and do what I'm telling you to do. Think that one through. Whoa! There's a scripture in the Bible in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 32 that says this. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Love God according and are walking according to his purpose. That's plan A. But if you miss part of it, you'll go over on to plan B. But plan B will turn into plan A. All right? So Joseph's brothers threw him into plan B. And every time he got to going good, then the enemy nailed him. God doesn't want his kids in jail. He wants them out being a witness. Potiphar saw that the Bible clearly says this. God blessed everything that Joseph touched to the place that Potiphar just went, what am I doing? I can't tell this kid anything. All I need to do is just say, just keep your hands on stuff, son. Keep your hands going. Everything your hands touch turns into blessing. Blessing. Woo! Keep it coming. Amen. So Potiphar had to be the last guy on the planet that wanted to throw him into jail. I mean, Potiphar's just going, can I throw somebody else, please? Pharaoh, can I do anything to keep this kid out? But his wife wouldn't let him, of course. Okay? So I want you to follow with me. I want you to follow with me. This is a big deal. If we'll follow the right influence and we do not let the enemy get in there and mess up our emotions. Everybody knows this in theory. But when you're in the middle of it, it's a little different. Years and years ago, I did a lot of counseling outside of the church. And I would take people through anger therapy. And so I would go through the steps of anger therapy. And at the end of them, I'd say, okay, everybody get this, you know. You have this incident. And then your emotions get into this thing, okay? And how you handle the anger that came from that incident, how you handle that anger is going to be according to your personality. Some people aren't going to say a word. They're just going to be very, very aggressive without being aggressive. In other words, you don't talk to your spouse for 6 months. Passive, aggressive to the core. Amen? Or you're going to be violent. You're trying to deal with this fire down on the inside of you. So I'd take people through that anger cycle. And I'd look at them and they'd look at me. And I'd say, you understand this now? Yeah. I said, good luck on doing it. And they go, what? What? I'm paying you money for this. This is going to fix it, right? No. This is going to tell you. Do not react. Do not react in a negative way. Because you don't have to. You don't have to. You can turn to God right on the spot and say, Lord, I'm getting my eyes right now on Romans 8:32. Turn this circumstance around to the place that all things are working together for me. Okay? Turn it around. Keep me from knocking this nut in with a sledgehammer, man. Okay? Don't let me go where I want to go here. Okay, please help me with this. Please help me with this. But very often, I don't care if you're a Christian, you are going to have that flame of anger rise up inside of you and pull you over into plan F. Oops. It is not easy, but it's doable. Not easy, but it is doable. Okay? In Joseph's case, I personally believe he had more dreams. And I personally believe, because God ministered to him through dreams, I personally believe when every bad thing happened, God was saying, don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, son. You are on the right track to get to where I want you to get. So don't get off with me. Don't push me away. Okay, just let me help you through all this. See, that's what you have to do as a Christian if you're going to be able to stay on plan A. And I'll be honest with you, you don't even want to go with plan B any more than like 3 seconds. Okay? Just stay out of that one and stay walking with the Lord. Keep your heart open. And even when Joseph finally had an opportunity to get his situation before Pharaoh, and he told the butler, he said, man, tell Pharaoh what I've just done for you. And the butler never did. See, even when you think self-promotion is the only way I'm going to get out of this thing, it's going to delay it 2 more years. Saying, I can hear somebody just saying, well, why don't I go with plan B then? And just see how that one works. Well, it doesn't work so well. In the life of Joseph, we see a guy that had, he was as innocent as could be, and in all these cases, the enemy was doing everything he could to snuff the family of Jacob out of the earth. He's always after more than you think he's after. Okay? And I'm going to wind up with this thought. Those brothers found out after all those years of grief and regret and shame, those brothers found out that God had a bigger plan. He had a bigger plan than just Joseph being the boss. I mean, I want Joseph to be the boss. Well, what if he's the boss of the whole place? That elevates you plenty at that point. All right? Want to talk about the second dream. The second dream is the what? The sun and the moon came down and bowed down before Joseph. Now, I've thought about this a lot, and the Bible doesn't say yes or no about this. But in my opinion, just with my life and interpreting dreams for people, there is something that you cannot, there's no way that you can factor this out. But the sheaves are earthly, aren't they? It's an earthly thing. It's their provision. Everybody has to have provision in the earth. But the sun and the moon bowing down is not done by men. This can only happen when God does something. When God does something that causes the sun and the moon to bow down before Joseph. And when Pharaoh turns the keys of the thing over to Joseph, in fact, the sun, because that's who Ra was. Their god, Ra, was the sun god. So in the dream, the sun was Pharaoh. The sun was Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I don't want you know one thing? I'm glad you're here. You're the wisest man in the whole place. In fact, if I had to do this, it'd be a mess. Well, I added that one. How'd you like to be Pharaoh figuring that one out? How do we save the nation from 7 years of drought? And Joseph said, I have an idea. I'm really good at this. I am so really good at this. Okay? Here's how we're going to do it. Pharaoh hears it and go, good idea. And here's the authority to do it. And I'm going to be the only guy that doesn't have to bow to you. But in doing what he did, he bowed to him too. He said, no, I'm not. Don't ask me. Don't ask me about this plan. You do it. Don't ask me. I'm giving it to you. And he did it. And it prospered. And it was blessed so far beyond anybody's comprehension that when the whole seven 14 years was done. Pharaoh owned everything and everybody. Never heard of such a thing. Never heard of such a thing. I could get myself in so much trouble if I went to politics right now. I'm just not getting away, man. I'm going to resist. Yeah, but that's what some politicians would like to do, is own everybody. Okay, that's enough. As we close today, there's just two things I want you to do. This is something that all of us have to take stock of every day. Are we being influenced more from the kingdom of God, the satanic kingdom, the kingdom that is all about good and evil, or my own will? My own will. What am I being ruled by in my life the most? The most. Am I making sure that I'm connected with God's Word? Everybody say God's Word. It's not enough just to say I love Jesus. It's get to know His Word. His Word has to be your friend. His Word has to be familiar to you. His Word has to be something that you desire to do every day of your life. His Word has to be something that you grab on to when the winds of life start to blow. You're not looking for your neighbor to help you. You are looking for Jesus to help you. Looking for Him. You're grabbing on to His garments. And you're going through things with Him. Amen. Or are you saying, well, I tried that and it didn't work. So, oh my gosh. It worked all right. You worked it the wrong way. Amen. You got to work it the right way. The right way is to agree with the Bible. If all you got is, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. And I love Jesus. Just say it a while. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love His Word. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. And I'm working according to His purpose for me. And His purpose for me is to be a witness. That's His purpose for me. And there's more beyond that. But He wants me to be a light. He wants me to be a light. Hallelujah. So we gotta make sure we're walking there. And boy, I'm telling you, those daggers that just come flying at you from the enemy, you have to be able to get your shield of faith up. Because those things are coming your way, those are coming my way. Amen. There's nothing we can do to avoid them. They are on their way. They're coming through the air. But you got a shield of faith that will stop every one of those arrows. But I hate to tell you this, you got to pick up your shield. If it's laying on the floor, it ain't going to help you. You got to pick it up and you got to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand against this attack of the enemy, and I say that Jesus will prevail. This plan from hell will not prevail against me in the name of Jesus. Okay, you have to say what you believe. You have to get that out. And if you don't believe that Jesus can do it, stay shut up for a while. Just be still. Yes, is so right. You just can't spit out all the garbage, okay? You have to be careful to not get over onto the devil's turf and agree with him. Yeah, I know God's helped me before, but I don't know this time. This is my fault this time. This is really my fault. I mean, I need to suffer. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you got that attitude, you're going to be okay. Okay, if you got that attitude, Father, I meant something happened here, but I did not mean this in 1,000 years. So, Lord, please turn this thing around. And He can do it.
Yes.
He can and He will. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank You.
Thank You, Jesus.
For Your promises to us today.
Yes.
And we thank You, Lord, that the Bible says that You watch over Your word to perform it. So, Lord, when we're speaking Your word, when we're thinking Your word, then we step out of our slavery to sin, and we step into the righteousness of God.
Yes, that's
glory to God. And, Father, I pray over every person in this building today.
Oh, thank You.
Lord,
Jesus.
I ask You, open their eyes.
Yes, thank You, Jesus.
To see. Open their ears to hear what they're supposed to hear from the kingdom of God. And Father, I pray that every one of them will instantly discern the voice of the enemy. Help them discern that voice of the enemy.
Yes.
Help them discern when they are making decisions that they need Jesus to make for them. Oh, Father, help them discern it. And Lord, much of life is not needing God to tell us which toothpaste to get. Hallelujah. But Father, it's the fact that You want to lead Your children.
Yes, yes.
And the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Yes.
So Father, to be a son, to be a daughter, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit, Lord. And so, Lord, help us be sensitive to being led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name today, everybody that agreed said amen. Excuse me.
Amen. I just want to encourage all of you that to read the life of Joseph. Most of you probably already have, but if you've never taken the time to read it, because Joseph is so much like Jesus, mm-hmm. as we know,
and
Brian will get there, because he didn't fall like David did and Samson did. You know, I mean, here the wife was trying to get him to, but he stayed strong. And I want to encourage you, we can too.
Yes, we can.
Right? Yes. The Bible says we will be tempted, and we can all go, yeah, we know that. Mm-hmm. But we can stay strong.
Amen.
Amen.